you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, a Friday podcast for everybody because we had a special guest. Ahmed took over the interview segment. He sat down with Evan Longoria at the ballpark today. We'll get to the impression of that. My first impression was that he admitted he ate Dodger dogs when he went to Dodger games. He grew up an Angels fan, but he did admit to having Dodger dogs. So me and him are going to have a conversation. He said he likes food. As has been well chronicled, I'm not a fan. Don't touch them when we go there.
It's amazing. You've never had one, right? We kept trying to get you to have one.
I think I had one when I was like in college, yeah. And a roommate took me to a playoff game, and I think it was like I grew up a Giants fan, but I think it was like if you're coming to a Dodger game,
you got to try it one time.
You have to have one. Yeah. But in 6 years on the beat, 9 games a year there, so probably 54 games there, plus like World Baseball Classic. Never. I will not touch what's in the press box. It's so disgusting.
He said he'd eaten one. I didn't get to follow up on if he felt okay afterwards. Yeah. He did survive it, obviously. He survived it.
Explain why he likes good food now, because he had the Dodger dog. But, you know, Evan, I thought he did the whole thing today. He did the press conference, talked to people behind the scenes. He sat down with you, sat down with other media.
Talked to season ticket holders.
I found him to be a confident guy, somebody who I think is going to fit in well with this group. And it's going to be interesting to me because with him and McCutchen, they've been the guy for so long. And they can come in here and kind of know that if the Giants lose 4 in a row, 5 in a row, you know, Buster Posey's the first one to answer those questions. Madison Bumgarner's going to get those questions. So that to me was interesting. He looked really comfortable today, and I think he will be really comfortable in this setting.
I think he'll be surprised a little bit. I think he will get a lot of the questions still. Yeah, but he struck me as a confident guy and a certain amount of swag to him, right? A little bit of, there's confidence, there's overconfidence, and I think
he reminded me of Brandon Crawford a little bit.
Yeah, and it's good. I think it's a good confidence, but it's definitely there with Evan Longoria.
Yeah, which is good. You want these guys to – you know, it's a guy who's played 162 games in the past. You want a guy who believes the team is better with me out there every single day. So I think that is going to be a key part. That's what I'm writing today. He's going to be on grass, so hopefully he can play a lot longer. We'll get to the interview in a second. The other thing, just quickly, because we've talked so much about the offseason, we're nearing the end here. You and I both talked to Bobby at separate points. I thought it was fascinating because he basically made it clear that center field is like far and ahead their biggest concern right now. Finding a player out there who fits under the tax most likely, and it doesn't sound like, you know, we thought they would bring 2 or 3 veterans into camp, let them compete for that rotation spot, let them compete for a bullpen spot. Bobby said right now it's Ty Block and Chris Stratton is the 4 or 5 guys. Tyler Beattie and Andrew Suarez are behind them. My guess, given the track records of some of these guys, is that we will see a change maybe in the order there, especially with the prospects coming up at some point early in the year. And then for the bullpen, Derek Law is the front runner right now to be the new Kyle Crick. And Reyes Maranta and then Julian Fernandez, who is their Rule 5 pick, who obviously has to go from like A-ball to the majors to stick, but it sounds like they really are confident that, you know, he can at least break camp with them and get a shot to fill some of those innings that Crick did.
Interesting, because I mean, I think we both agreed that, you know, starting a rotation's a concern, bullpens are a concern for the past 3 years, that maybe center field is the one that you can say, you know what, we'll go with Steven Duggar, or we'll go with Gorky's Hernandez, or we'll try to figure it out
For a while. Slater, a guy
Austin Slater, you're
lot.
Right. Austin Slater, who we leave out. But certainly could play there. So, and I wonder if part of that is because they feel like they can't make that big of an impact with what they want to spend with a fifth starter, veteran starter, or maybe even a bullpen arm. So maybe they feel like the only way they can maybe increase the team and still stand to the tax and give themselves some wiggle room to make a trade in the offseason is to get a center fielder right now.
Yeah, that'll be, you know, it is, there's not a lot of money left for that guy. So I think it'll be interesting to see the next 3 weeks, month, as camp starts, what some of these veterans get. I mean, are they getting minor league deals? Are they getting $4 million guaranteed? Or are they getting $5 million guaranteed? So we'll see if that plan changes. I mean, they did leave the door open for it to change, but it does sound like they're pretty confident in the young guys. I like those guys. I mean, I think they all have a role. I think Chris Stratton certainly has earned the opportunity there. I think Ty Block is kind of a swingman who does a little bit of everything for you is really interesting. It does seem, you know, we've talked about this. Again, you're opening up kind of the back end here where you've done so much to improve the lineup, and again, you're relying on a rotation that I think, not just with those guys, but I mean, Johnny Cueto, we don't know what they're going to get out of him. So it does seem like we might have some more question marks to discuss as the season goes on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like we talked about with left field last year. So you're kind of just hoping that something materializes there. And sometimes it does. You know, it didn't last year for them in left field. So perhaps Stratton's the guy that we saw at the end of the year, and Block can be the guy we saw at the beginning of the year, and they're okay there. But and I know there's fans out there that say, why is there so much talk about this tax? You've just gone and gotten Longoria, and you've gone and gotten McCutcheon, and you're trying to beef up, and now you're going to stop. Yeah. You know, why stop now? And I think that's a valid argument. But I think if that was the idea, then you needed to blow through it. They're definitely not going to just barely go over it.
Yeah.
You know, you've got two options, right? You either just blow through it, and you say, you know what, we're going to blow through it. We'll worry about all the repercussions that come with it. But when you're this close and you feel like your team's there and you maybe need a slight upgrade here, slight upgrade there, slight upgrade here, you go, is it worth it to go over the tax and pay those penalties? And that's not just monetary, also, as you brought up.
Team
building, draft picks, international slot money, I think, too. So it's a tough spot. I mean, I can't say that fans are wrong to say they should just not even worry about the tax, but there's certainly something about just barely going over it and feeling like that's a mistake, too.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that this has been – you read all these stories about the tax. I don't know that this gets reported because I think it's part of maybe the CBA that people don't know about. But I've been told that if you're like a dime over – in the position the Giants are in where they've been in the tax three times, if you're a dime over, it's like $5 or $6 million right away just from penalties. So it's wow. Not necessarily like you're paying the 50%. There are penalties that the teams are hit with that are not always public, and that is part of it. So I think, to me, it's a case where you dip under right now, and if they're sitting there at the trade deadline and the rotation's a problem, and Bruce Bochy says, get me one more starter, and I can compete again, I can win you another title, I think then maybe you blow past it.
Right.
But it does make some sense to stay under right now, which explains a lot of what they're doing with the younger guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, will it... And you look at the options, too. I mean, you could blow past it, but, you know, Jake Arrieta's, you Darvish's, you could go crazy, and they would.
Yeah, I don't really love those.
Yeah, you know, it's the investment doesn't seem to be too wise, but if you have the money and if you're willing to pay the penalty. But like you said, I think that the best thing to do right now is see what you have. You know, you do have a 98-loss team that you had last year, and you think you've made improvements. See what you have right now, and if you have enough and you feel like you have something worth giving more to, then you can do that throughout the season. Then you, like you say, then you blow through the tax and it's whatever, because you know you actually have a good team. But this team starts out April and May like it did last year. You don't want to be spending $100 million for you Darvish at that point. You're going to want to try to trade him if you had him.
Yeah, my favorite part of today was when Evan said it's hard to go 64-98 and win just 64 games. So we have to be better.
He said, he was like, that is a bad year.
I was like, yeah, it is hard. I couldn't believe it. The entire time for 6 months, I was looking at the record and going, it's pretty hard to be this bad, especially when you have this roster. But Evan hopes to improve it. Ahmed sat down with him today. I think it's 10 or 11 minutes here. So enjoy the Friday podcast, everybody. We will be back soon with more. If there is not going to be an Andrew McCutcheon press conference because of
all,
not until maybe FanFest, okay. I think is what I heard. He did just have a kid. It's obviously a time of year where he's training for spring training, so to get him out here when he just had a baby a few months ago, I think they're probably not going to do. But so we won't have the same thing for that, but we will be back with more of the podcast at some point. But for now, here is Evan Longoria.
Evan, so the most pressure I think any ball player goes through is being in front of a bunch of reporters and having to button up a jersey and not missing a button.
Yeah.
You said you'd never done that, but what was that like for you?
It was nerve-wracking, you know. being in front of the press is always nerve-wracking. You know, you want to say you don't want to say the wrong thing, but having to put on a jersey in front of them too and a new number that like still feels awkward on my back. And there was a lot of firsts today for me, but it's been fun, man. It's been a different experience and something that I don't know if everybody should experience it, but I'm happy that I've gotten to experience it.
Yeah, what is 10 significance to you?
Nothing. Really.
It's a number.
Yeah, it's just a number.
So when you look down, you see Giants. You go out to the field. You see your face on the Jumbotron. You see the park. What's just going through your mind for all that?
It's cool. This organization has been, so first class. From top to bottom since the day I've been traded, and everybody's been great to me and my family, and so that kind of just puts a cherry on top.
How long will it be for you to say we? And feel Giants and not say we and feel Tampa Bay Rays?
Well, I start doing that now.
Yeah.
My job is here. My team is here. I've always been, I've never had to make the change, but, when I went to Florida for the first time, being that I've been in California my whole life, I made a conscious decision to be, a Bucks fan and a Lightning fan. And, I chose, for whatever reason, I chose the University of Florida over Florida State. I didn't have a college football team, so I just chose them. And that was always my goal, was to be loyal to the place that I was. And I don't know that I'll change my loyalties in terms of those other sports that I root for. I'm still going to pull for the Bucks and the Lightning, but the Giants are my team now, and I've always been, and I'll be loyal to this fan base and this community.
So I do need to get you on the record, just so we have it on the record, growing up in Southern California, at any point in your life, childhood, were you ever a Dodgers fan? You
can I
be
was
honest.
Not.
Okay.
I was not.
All right.
I went to Dodger games, okay. and I ate Dodger dogs, and I sat way in the fifth deck, and I enjoyed going to baseball, but I grew up closer to Angel Stadium, and I grew up more of an Angel fan than I did a Dodger fan.
You'll keep all your same allegiances outside of baseball, but you follow Warriors, 49ers, Raiders, any of those teams when you were growing up at all?
No, I can't claim to. Obviously, I know the Warriors, the run the Warriors have been on, and it's going to be cool. I was talking to Larry a couple weeks ago, and he was saying they're actually moving down close right in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. They're moving their stadium down here in their arena, so that'll be cool. And being able to go because we didn't have a professional basketball team in Tampa. Orlando is the closest, so that's going to be kind of cool to be able to experience something new, go to some basketball games, and see obviously a high caliber basketball. So I think that's something that me and my kids will enjoy too.
Yeah. So when you heard about the trade, I think you were asked, and you said, "What Giants do you know?" And you go, "I don't know any of them."
I didn't know any of them.
Personally, you didn't know personally.
No, I
don't know that many. Have you gotten to know more recently? And what have they said? And what conversations have you had with some of the Giants?
All positive. I mean, I still haven't. I've only met Samardzija and Parker and a few other guys. That I didn't know as well as those two guys, and but I've talked with exchanged messages with Buster and Madison and just really really positive. I mean, everybody's been great. Everybody's been welcoming, and I know that it's easy to be pleasant when you never met somebody, but I hope that it carries over when I do meet them in person. And happy to be coming to a place that has the history and has the class that this place has, and also happy coming into a clubhouse that has so many faces and leaders already that I can feel like I can just come in and kind of fit right in.
Is there any element to, because you've said that a couple of times, fitting in and wanting to fit in with a new team? It's also a team that lost 98 games that might need a little infusion of something different, a different personality. What do you feel like you could bring in that category?
I touched on it a little bit in there. I feel like you know, my attitude in the past has been infectious. You know, I feel like on a daily basis I bring, you know, energy to the clubhouse. I have a desire to play every day, and I think that that is, you know, that is infectious. You know, players that, you know, may feel the grind of a long season, or, you know, might be in a little bit of a funk offensively or defensively or whatever it is, pitching. You know, that something like that is, it can give you a boost, you know, when you have guys around that, you know, come to play and come to compete on a daily basis, no matter what the circumstances. I've played around players that are like that, you know, and it's really a joy to have guys like that in the clubhouse. And I think that that's something that, will be beneficial to this group, in terms of what I bring.
Sure. You're a Gold Glove third baseman. Brandon Crawford's a Gold Glove shortstop. Joe Panik's a Gold Glove second baseman. I think Brandon Belt may have won the Gold Glove this year if he hadn't gotten hurt at the end of the year. You look on paper, this might be the best defensive infield in all of baseball. Would you disagree with that sentiment?
I mean, I wouldn't disagree with it. I mean, you know, the accolades and the numbers speak for themselves. But, you know, it's a matter of going and doing it year in and year out. And there's no reason why we can't repeat that next year.
Did you players have come up to me and said, when you get traded, you're always off season, you're working hard no matter what. But when you get traded, there's just a little extra juice, a little extra something to your workups. Have you felt that at all? Is there any something that's different this off season just because it's almost like you got to impress a new team and a new fan base?
My workouts have been different because I've been working out with the trainers there, you know, so it's been a little bit different.
How has that been approach. Different?
I mean, I'm you know, following their workout routine versus, you know, things that I've done in the past. And a lot of times I've either gone to the same place that I'd gone to or just kind of done stuff on my own. And so now it's just, I'm kind of feeling it out. You know, I want to you know, be able to them to feel like, you know, I'm prepared for the season and I'm ready and I've done, you know, everything I can do. But at the same time, there's that balance of not doing too much, you know, and just doing what I've done in the past that's made me successful. You know, I think you probably have had a tendency to like jump into doing more different things because, you know, I do want to impress people. You do want to, you know, have them feel confident that you're working and preparing for the season. But at the same time, you got to just really understand your body and understand, you know, for myself, what's gotten me to this point.
Right. What do we got left? 3 minutes. Okay. I got two more for you here, Evan. So you kind of touched on it. Certainly this was a rough year last year for the Giants with the 98 losses. There were some teams in Tampa that had down years, but then would come back and have a really good year. What is a key as a player coming into a season after you've had a down year and preparing for a year where you hope everything is a whole lot better?
Well, I mean, I think it makes it pretty easy, right? You know, it's like you feel the heartaches, you feel the struggles from the year before, and you do have that extra motivation. You know, you once you go through it once, you don't want to go through it again. You know, so I think that the intrinsic motivation will be there for everybody that experienced how tough last year was, and the additions that we've made as a group, I think, make that you know, even easier to come in motivated and prepared to have a successful season this year.
Before I let you go, interests outside baseball. I know you have a restaurant in Tampa, right?
Yeah, we have a restaurant in Tampa. Food is one of my
biggest hobbies. Good.
Yeah,
eating food is a hobby.
I enjoy cooking.
Yeah.
But I enjoy eating, and so that's one of the things that I'm looking forward to. And in San Francisco, obviously, so many good, you know, great restaurants. A lot of places that I think, you know, you got to be here to know. You know, a lot of hole in the wall places that are really, really good. And so that's a challenge I'm looking forward to, is finding the best ones. And I play golf and just spending time with my family. I mean, you know, I got two young kids now, so they know what I do, and they'll be at the ballpark. They enjoy coming around, and so that's been really fun for me over the past, you know, 5 years, having to have them be a part of what I do.
Cool. Well, Evan, welcome.
Thank you.
Get to know the place. Good. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Nice to meet you too. Thanks.
Center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
And that's a perfect game. Swing and a miss. The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.